Grace to you and peace. God, our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text of the gospel lesson. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to a mountain. We're not just sure where. Doesn't really matter where. It really gets translated as a high place. So there are several places it could have been, but it really doesn't matter which one of those it may be. And as he's standing there with them, all of a sudden, his face starts to glow, bright like the sun, or even brighter than the sun, a reflection of God's glory. The power of God being shown in his face, and his garments are glistening white, as nobody could possibly clean them. And they're terrified. They weren't sure what they just saw. And then suddenly there's a cloud. And out of the cloud appeared two more people, Moses and Elijah. Now, I'm not quite sure how it was they figured out it was Moses and Elijah. Maybe they had name tags. I'm Moses, I'm Elijah, I'm Law, so on and so forth. I don't think so, but somehow he knew who they were, and they knew who they were. And as they're standing there conversing with Jesus, a cloud appears, surrounds them, and then there's a voice out of the cloud, as if it wasn't enough that Jesus is here, his face is glowing white, his clothes are glowing white, there's a cloud, and now there's a voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So they've had a real shot. They've been dragged up to this mountain. I'm not sure they figured out why they were going. He said, come, and they went. Okay? He'd done that a couple other times, and they went, and sometimes they found out what was going on. Sometimes they slept through it because they were tired. They were working hard, and they just really didn't have the strength to go to one more meeting. So it happens. All of a sudden, he begins to glow white. Bright, like nothing they've ever seen, like the sun at its zenith, where you can't look on it for very long or you're going to get blinded. And they appreciate the fact that something's going to happen. And so it does. So it does. There appear with him two people, Moses and Elijah. Why them? Well, Moses, as you remember, and you heard in the Old Testament lesson, is the one, the bringer of the law. He's the one that goes up to the mountain with God, gets the Ten Commandments. And I hadn't picked it up before, but he's up there 40 days. This 40 number keeps recurring. And then Jesus is driven out into the desert for 40 days. And then we got coming, starting Wednesday, 40 days of Lent. 40 is a magic number, I guess. So he's up there, and he's getting these tablets that God has already prepared to go back down and guess what happens when he's down there. Yeah, they've already decided he's not coming back, and they made their own God. Funny thing, if you're going to have a God, it's going to look like you. Or it's going to look like something that you approve of. And they made this God out of money and gold that they've sucked out of the people that were there. Said, come on, we're going to make an idol. We're going to make a god. We need your money. And they kicked in gold. And they made this thing. It gets translated that looked like a gold calf. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know the language to tell you what it actually says. But that's what's been used for years. Some kind of an animal that was going to be made out of this gold that they collected from the people. And they were partying around this thing. Actually, some people translate it, they were having an orgy around this thing, because they considered the fact that Moses had been gone 40 days. He'd probably be dead. He went up on that thing and he talked to God, and God probably zapped him and he wasn't coming back. So we need a God. So we're going to make our own. Well, so then Moses throws the two tablets on the ground and breaks them and goes back up, does it again. So he's talking with Moses, the guy who brings the law. The second time, brings it down. And Elijah, maybe not the premier prophet, but certainly one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. One of, again, those who were bringing the word of God to God's people. Now, they weren't always people that were real happy with the job. In fact, most of them said, "Would you please get to somebody else and leave me alone? I want to do this. Call somebody who wants to do this. I don't want to do this. For one thing, they're not going to listen to me. I haven't been around long enough. They're going to look at me and say, 'Hey, kid, you've got nothing to say we're going to listen to.' Besides which, I really don't think I'll survive. I don't want to go do it." And then there were some who were sent to do something. They were sent to tell a group of people that if they didn't change, they were going to die. They didn't want to do it. Went anyway, delivered the prophecy. The people changed, and then they were unhappy because the people changed. Wait a minute. You did what you were told. What you wanted to happen happened, and now you're unhappy because they didn't get zapped. Great people, the prophets. But that's who Jesus is talking to. Moses, the law. Elijah, the prophets. Again, the active word of God, the presence of God among God's people. So they're sitting there, standing there. Actually, probably they're scared stiff by now because they've got this blazing white, which to them, they understood, was a reference to the power and presence of God. And again, if you looked on God, you died. That was the understanding in the Old Testament. Nobody looked on God and lived. Now, the New Testament, or the Old Testament lesson, talked about Moses and a number of the elders, and they looked on God, and they parted with God, and they still lived. So maybe sometimes they did. But these guys are wondering what's going to happen next. What are we going to see now? What's he going to do now? And as they're standing there, oh boy, cloud appears. Well, that'll get your attention if you're up there in the middle of the dark. And out of the cloud comes a voice, as if the light's not enough, the cloud's not enough, these two guys he's talking to aren't enough. Then comes a voice. "This is my son, the beloved," or "This is my beloved son. Pay attention to him." Now, you have to understand that these original manuscripts in both the old and the new didn't have any punctuation. Anything that's been added has been added since. But in one of the lessons that reports this, there's an exclamation point. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Pay attention to what he's going to tell you, because there's going to be some other things that are going to happen that you're going to be part of that are going to really make a difference, and you're going to see it, but you're not going to see it, and you're not going to hear it if you don't pay attention. And then Peter, because he had nothing else to do, and as he was wont to do, he opened his mouth, and Peter had a bad case of hoof and mouth disease. He always had to say something, so he says, "Hey, you know, it's great that we're here. We'll go into business. We'll make a tent for you. We'll make one for Moses, and we'll make one for Elijah, and we'll do the God business up here. We won't have to get dirty with them people down there. We won't have to go down there and put up with them. We can make them come to us, and we can do it all from up here. Wouldn't that be great?" And all of a sudden, everything disappears. He's back to just Jesus being there, Peter and John. And they're all, James, Peter, and John, they're all wondering what they just saw. They're all wondering what they just heard. He knows they don't. He knows what's going to happen. He sees what's going to happen in Jerusalem when he gets there. But they don't. They have no idea what they're about to be part of. The message is, listen. Listen to what he says. So what's he going to say? He's going to say very plainly to the Jews, "I am God. I forgive sins. I give life. I give hope. I give possibilities. I give a new kingdom. The kingdom of God is here. It's among you." Well, not exactly what the Jews wanted to hear. Doesn't go into the make friends and influence people thing. It really got them torqued. And so they sat there and they tried to figure, how are we going to get rid of this guy? How are we going to keep him from doing any further damage to what we call our religion and the way we do things? Finally, they decided they'd kill him. And they tried to cop out and get somebody else to do it, and they wouldn't, and it came back on them. They tried to get the government to do it. He says, nope, I find no fault in him, back to you. So they went ahead and did it. And they crucified him in the middle of a garbage dump between a couple of thieves. And they made sure he died. I'm sure over the years there's been heresies that said, well, he really wasn't dead. He was just holding his breath, or he really was not quite there. He died. He was dead. When they stuck that sword at him, he was dead for sure. Normally, what they do is break the legs of the prisoners to shock them enough to kill them. But they didn't do it in his case, because there was an Old Testament thing that the one who came from God, the one who was God's choice, would have no broken bones. And so instead, there was a curved sword. There was a sword available. They stuck that in his side. Out came blood. He died. He died on the cross. Well, come Wednesday, we're going to do Ash Wednesday. They have a little something prepared for you to stick on your foreheads. Made it myself. There is some benefit to spending 5 years in pharmacy school. You learn how to make things from nothing. So, it's all ready to go. And for 40 days, we're going to look at the cross. For 40 days, we're going to stand at the bottom of it and look up and see that it's not empty. It's got a body on it. And this body is Jesus of Nazareth, who died that we might live. 40 days, we're going to contemplate the cost of the cross. And then Easter, we're going to know that it's empty, or we're going to know that he lives. And that's what these guys were going to see. That was the glory that was being shown in his face, the power of God, even over life and death, that he was getting them ready for. But they really didn't see it. Watch. See what they learn as time goes on. Be blessed by the transfiguration, that we see that he's God, that he's the power of God, that he can do the things God does because he's there to do them. Give thanks and rejoice and prepare for Lent and then Easter, the end of it. God be with you. Enjoy your time. Amen. Grace to you and peace. God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text of the gospel lesson. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to a mountain. We're not just sure where. Doesn't really matter where. It really gets translated as a high place. So there are several places it could have been, but it really doesn't matter which one of those it may be. And as he's standing there with them, all of a sudden, his face starts to glow, bright like the sun, or even brighter than the sun, a reflection of God's glory. The power of God being shown in his face, and his garments are glistening white, as nobody could possibly clean them. And they're terrified. They weren't sure what they just saw. And then suddenly there's a cloud. And out of the cloud appeared two more people, Moses and Elijah. Now, I'm not quite sure how it was they figured out it was Moses and Elijah. Maybe they had name tags. I'm Moses, I'm Elijah, I'm Law, so on and so forth. I don't think so, but somehow he knew who they were, and they knew who they were. And as they're standing there conversing with Jesus, a cloud appears, surrounds them, and then there's a voice out of the cloud, as if it wasn't enough that Jesus is here, his face is glowing white, his clothes are glowing white, there's a cloud. And now there's a voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So they've had a real shot. They've been dragged up to this mountain. I'm not sure they figured out why they were going. He said, come, and they went. Okay? He'd done that a couple other times, and they went. And sometimes They found out what was going on. Sometimes they slept through it because they were tired, they were working hard, and they just really didn't have the strength to go to one more meeting. So it happens. All of a sudden, he begins to glow white, bright, like nothing they've ever seen, like the sun at its zenith, where you can't look on it for very long or you're going to get blinded. And they appreciate the fact that something's going to happen. And so it does. So it does. There appear with him two people, Moses and Elijah. Why them? Well, Moses, as you remember, and you heard in the Old Testament lesson, is the one, the bringer of the law. He's the one that goes up to the mountain with God, gets the Ten Commandments. And I hadn't picked it up before, but he's up there 40 days. This 40 number keeps recurring. And then Jesus is driven out into the desert for 40 days. And then we got coming, starting Wednesday, 40 days of Lent. 40 is a magic number, I guess. So he's up there, and he's getting these tablets that God has already prepared to go back down and guess what happens when he's down there. Yeah, they've already decided he's not coming back, and they made their own God. Funny thing, if you're going to have a God, it's going to look like you. Or it's going to look like something that you approve of. And they made this God out of money and gold that they've sucked out of the people that were there. Said, come on, we're going to make an idol. We're going to make a God. We need your money. And they kicked in gold. And they made this thing. It gets translated that looked like a gold calf. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know the language to tell you what it actually says. But that's what's been used for years. Some kind of an animal that was going to be made out of this gold that they collected from the people. And they were partying around this thing. Actually, some people translate it, they were having an orgy around this thing. Because they considered the fact that Moses had been gone 40 days, he'd probably be dead. He went up on that thing and he talked to God, and God probably zapped him and he wasn't coming back. So we need a God. So we're going to make our own. Well, so then Moses throws the two tablets on the ground and breaks them and goes back up, does it again. So he's talking with Moses, the guy who brings the law. The second time, brings it down. And Elijah, maybe not the premier prophet, but certainly one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. One of, again, those who were bringing the word of God to God's people. Now, they weren't always people that were real happy with the job. In fact, most of them said, would you please get to somebody else and leave me alone? I want to do this. Call somebody who wants to do this. I don't want to do this. For one thing, they're not going to listen to me. I haven't been around long enough. They're going to look at me and say, hey, kid, you got nothing to say we're going to listen to. Besides which, I really don't think I'll survive. I don't want to go do it. And then there were some who were sent to do something. They were sent to tell a group of people that if they didn't change, they were going to die. They didn't want to do it. Went anyway, delivered the prophecy. The people changed, and then they were unhappy because the people changed. Wait a minute. You did what you were told. What you wanted to happen happened, and now you're unhappy because they didn't get zapped. Great people, the prophets. But that's who Jesus is talking to. Moses, the law. Elijah, the prophets. Again, the active word of God, the presence of God among God's people. So they're sitting there, standing there. Actually, probably they're scared stiff by now because they've got this blazing white, which to them, they understood, was a reference to the power and presence of God. And again, if you looked on God, you died. That was the understanding in the Old Testament. Nobody looked on God and lived. Now, the New Testament, or the Old Testament lesson, talked about Moses and a number of the elders, and they looked on God, and they parted with God, and they still lived. So maybe sometimes they did. But these guys are wondering what's going to happen next. What are we going to see now? What's he going to do now? And as they're standing there, oh boy, cloud appears. Well, that'll get your attention if you're up there in the middle of the dark. And out of the cloud comes a voice, as if the light's not enough, the cloud's not enough, these two guys he's talking to aren't enough. Then comes a voice. This is my son, the beloved, or this is my beloved son. Pay attention to him. Now, you have to understand that these original manuscripts in both the old and the new didn't have any punctuation. Anything that's been added has been added since. But in one of the lessons that reports this, there's an exclamation point. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Pay attention to what he's going to tell you, because there's going to be some other things that are going to happen that you're going to be part of that are going to really make a difference, and you're going to see it, but you're not going to see it, and you're not going to hear it if you don't pay attention. And then Peter, because he had nothing else to do, and as he was wont to do, he opened his mouth, and Peter had a bad case of hoof and mouth disease. He always had to say something, so he says, hey, you know, it's great that we're here. We'll go into business. We'll make a tent for you. We'll make one for Moses. And we'll make one for Elijah. And we'll do the God business up here. We won't have to get dirty with them people down there. We won't have to go down there and put up with them. We can make them come to us. And we can do it all from up here. Wouldn't that be great? And all of a sudden, everything disappears. He's back to just Jesus being there, Peter and John. And they're all, James, Peter, and John, they're all wondering what they just saw. They're all wondering what they just heard. He knows they don't. He knows what's going to happen. He sees what's going to happen in Jerusalem when he gets there. But they don't. They have no idea what they're about to be part of. The message is, listen. Listen to what he says. So what's he going to say? He's going to say very plainly to the Jews, I am God, I forgive sins, I give life, I give hope, I give possibilities. I give a new kingdom. The kingdom of God is here, it's among you. Well, not exactly what the Jews wanted to hear. Doesn't go into the make friends and influence people thing. It really got them torqued. And so they sat there and they tried to figure, how are we going to get rid of this guy? How are we going to keep him from doing any further damage to what we call our religion and the way we do things? Finally, they decided they'd kill him. And they tried to cop out and get somebody else to do it, and they wouldn't. And it came back on them. They tried to get the government to do it. He says, nope, I find no fault in him. Back to you. So they went ahead and did it. And they crucified him in the middle of a garbage dump between a couple of thieves. And they made sure he died. I'm sure over the years there's been heresies that said, well, he really wasn't dead. He was just holding his breath, or he really was not quite there. He died. He was dead. When they stuck that sword at him, he was dead for sure. Normally what they do is break the legs of the prisoners to shock them enough to kill them. But they didn't do it in his case, because there was an Old Testament thing that the one who came from God, the one who was God's choice, would have no broken bones. And so instead, there was a curved sword. There was a sword available. They stuck that in his side. Out came blood. He died. He died on the cross. Well, come Wednesday, we're going to do Ash Wednesday. They have a little something prepared for you to stick on your foreheads. Made it myself. There is some benefit to spending 5 years in pharmacy school. You learn how to make things from nothing. So it's all ready to go. And for 40 days, we're going to look at the cross. For 40 days, we're going to stand at the bottom of it and look up and see that it's not empty. It's got a body on it.